Welcome back to our Thomistic Institute Holy Week retreat. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We want to speak this afternoon about the Eucharist and spiritual communion. If you're living under lockdown orders right now, do you remember the last time, the last meeting, the last meal that you had with your family or friends before the lockdown went into place? Do you remember how that last day, the last 2 days perhaps, went before you had to shelter in place? That last dinner with friends and family could have been planned long before the COVID-19 pandemic reared into pandemonium near you. But when you gathered for that last meal, it had special significance because you knew that you would not be seeing those friends, those family members, for quite a while. Jesus knew full well that his Last Supper was exactly what we call it, the Last Supper. Every gospel account testifies to this. Jesus knew that he would be betrayed by one of his closest disciples. And yet, he still arranged to share that Last Supper before lockdown, before his betrayal, passion, death. At that Last Supper, Jesus instituted the Eucharist, the Christian sacrament that most powerfully represents Christ's passion and Christ's continuing sacramental real presence to us. About 20 years after the Last Supper, around the year 56 or 57, St. Paul described to the Corinthians the institution of the Eucharist. He wrote, "I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and, after he had given thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also the cup, after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." In the loneliness and anxiety of the COVID-19 pandemic and our protective response to it, many people are asking, where is God? Is God close to me, to us? Am I alone? Are we alone? As Christians, we believe that God always exists, more so than we exist. And indeed, though God surpasses his creation and is totally other than his creation, nonetheless, there are ways that God is simultaneously present to each one of his creatures. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote, "God is in all things by his power, inasmuch as all things are subject to his power. He is by his presence in all things, as all things are bare and open to his eyes. He is in all things by his essence, inasmuch as he is present to all as the cause of their being." Thomas said in the same place, "God is especially in the rational creature who knows and loves him actually or habitually. And because the rational creature possesses this prerogative by grace, God is said to be thus in the saints by grace." So we can always turn to God spiritually, because God is always present to us spiritually in his divinity. And so in prayer, in the silence of our hearts or vocalized by our lips, we can always tell God that we love him. We can ask him for his forgiveness, intercede for our loved ones, receive his forgiveness, and receive his love. As St. Augustine famously said, "God, you are more inward than my most inward part, and higher than the highest element within me." But beyond this closeness, God wanted to be closer to us yet, closer to us spiritually and physically. And that's why he became man. as man, as Jesus Christ, to be spiritually and physically closer even more, even despite the limitations of his humanity, Jesus instituted the Eucharist. The Eucharist uses signs of bread and wine that are transformed, transubstantiated by the consecratory words of Christ's priest, such that Christ is truly present to us in his body and blood, his soul and his divinity. In giving us this sacrament, Christ was thinking beyond the Last Supper, beyond his resurrection, even beyond his ascension into heaven. He was thinking about how he could be present to you and me at this time, in this world. If you think about it, Christ did not need to ascend into heaven. He could still be walking the face of the earth, for sickness and aging and death have no power over him. But if he were walking the earth, he'd be only in one place on the earth. By giving us his body and blood represented substantially under a sacramental mode, as St. Thomas would term it, Christ in his humanity could be present to more of us simultaneously on this earth, indeed to persons in every land and nation. What powerful love! St. Thomas describes this eloquently. He wrote, "The presence of Christ's true body and blood in this sacrament belongs to Christ's love, out of which for our salvation he assumed a true body of our nature. And because it is the special feature of friendship to live together with friends, as the philosopher Aristotle says, he promises us his bodily presence as a reward, saying, 'Where the body is, there shall the eagles be gathered together.'" The eagles have to have sharp eyes to be able to see spiritually Christ. Thomas continues, "Yet meanwhile in our pilgrimage, he does not deprive us of his bodily presence, but unites us with himself in this sacrament through the truth of his body and blood. Hence Christ says, 'He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him.' Hence, this sacrament is the sign of supreme charity and the uplifter of our hope from such familiar union of Christ with us." I love that line about friendship. The Eucharist is about friendship. So yes, we are not alone. Christ is with us. Our Eucharistic friend is with us. This Eucharistic real presence, this sustained presence of our friend Christ, is only one aspect of the Eucharist, which is such a rich sacrament. The Eucharist also looked forward to Good Friday, to when Christ would be slain, when his body would be pierced, and his blood separated from his body. The Eucharist thus represents the passion of Calvary. The Eucharist is the dynamic sacrifice of Calvary. We signify this by having two signs for our Eucharist, bread and wine, which the priest consecrates separately. "This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood." And this gives us Christ's body and blood separately, under separate species, as in a slain man. From this real presence of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, this real sacramental presence, we know that the ordained priest offers what we call the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But less well known, but still well defined by St. Thomas and the Church's Magisterium, is that all of the laity are able to participate in that holy sacrifice of the Mass in a sacrificial way themselves. Yes, the ordained priest offers the holy sacrifice, but so too can the laity, spiritually speaking. They too have been configured to Christ's priesthood by baptism. And so, every time that a layperson is at Mass, he's supposed to spiritually unite himself to the action of the ordained priests at the altar and the offering of that holy sacrifice. Now, that offering of sacrifice, that spiritual offering of the layperson, that can take place even from afar. We could call that spiritual sacrifice. More on that in a moment. Because we also want to talk about spiritual communion. From the sacrifice of the Mass, we are enabled to have the real presence of Christ, his presence offered to us under the sacred species, the Holy Eucharist, the consecrated host, the precious blood, for our consumption. In normal times, we're able to receive Holy Communion at Mass. For many of us, sadly, we cannot receive right now. And yet, there is the possibility to receive a spiritual communion. What is this? First off, we need to make a distinction, as St. Thomas and other medieval theologians would make. They would say there's spiritual eating, spiritual communion, and sacramental eating, sacramental communion. Spiritual eating is when one receives the effect of this sacrament, whereby a man is spiritually united with Christ through faith and charity, as St. Thomas said. Sacramental eating, in contrast, is the physical reception of the sacred species. Normally, spiritual eating, spiritual desire, should precede sacramental eating, physical eating. Only those who want to be united with Christ, indeed who are united with Christ spiritually, should be going up and receiving Holy Communion. And then this spiritual eating and this sacramental eating lead to refreshment. The grace of the Eucharist, the final goal of the Eucharist, is spiritual nourishment to live with Christ now, to have him walk with us toward the eternal life of heaven. Indeed, this grace of Eucharistic charity, this being bound together spiritually with Christ and his mystical body, the Church, that is the goal of our entire lives, both now and in heaven. Now, rightfully, there have been conversations going on about spiritual communion and the sad fact of the coronavirus pandemic when many of us cannot receive Holy Communion. And yet it's good for us to know that there are certain conditions, things that we need to do in order to receive spiritual communion. We have to be baptized. Baptism is the door to all of the sacraments. We also have to be old enough to make an act of the will in order to unite ourselves in faith and charity with Christ in the Eucharist. We have to have a desire deliberately for Holy Communion, for the Holy Eucharist, not just a vague desire for God generally. We have to be in the state of grace, for we know that it's only in the state of grace that we can receive a fruitful sacramental communion, a physical Holy Communion. Only then will we receive grace in our souls that redound to our benefit. So we need to be spiritually close to Christ in faith and charity in order to grow closer to him by receiving communion. Indeed, Eucharistic closeness creates more closeness. So although, sadly, it's difficult for some people to get to the sacrament of penance right now, if you need to go to confession, if you can, go now. There's no better time than right now. And with that state of grace, you can receive spiritual communion. If you can't get to confession, make acts of contrition. Do acts of penance. God can forgive us even outside of the sacrament of penance, though we always need to present our mortal sins in confession, for sure, sacramental forgiveness. And indeed, talking about sin, now is a great time to avoid sin in our lives. Anytime, every time is a good time to avoid sin. Now is a really good time to avoid sin. Lastly, for spiritual communion, we need to have a strong faith in the Holy Eucharist. We need to have real love for Christ in the Eucharist and an explicit desire to receive Holy Communion, the sacrament, now. How do we do this, practically speaking? We could read the scripture readings and pray along with the prayers of the day's Mass. We could pray the Eucharistic prayer that the priest would say when he's celebrating Mass. There are a lot of live-streamed Masses going on right now. Watch one of them. Try to clear things away from around your TV or your computer, things that would distract you. You try to avoid distraction when you go to Mass in a church. Try to do the same thing if you're going to watch the live-streamed Mass. Unite yourself spiritually with that Mass being offered at this very moment in the world's history. After Mass is over, express your love to our Eucharistic Lord. Ask for the grace of Holy Communion. Be devout. Be direct. Don't be flimsy. Don't think that you'll make a really fervent spiritual communion if you give only 5 seconds of thought to it. You surely would be happy to go to a Mass of about half an hour, at least right now, maybe even an hour. You'd probably even be willing to give 2 hours to get to Mass right now. Be prepared to show your Eucharistic friendship with some sustained friendly concentration and friendly time. Lastly, say a prayer for spiritual communion in your own words, or one that you can find in a book or online. We'll conclude this talk with one. At the same time, we know that spiritual communion is not enough. We want real physical communion. St. Thomas Aquinas said, "The effect of this sacrament can be secured by every man if he receive it in desire, though not in reality, a spiritual communion." Thomas continues, "Nevertheless, sacramental eating is not without avail, because the actual receiving of the sacrament produces more fully the effect of the sacrament than does the desire thereof." So we all want to get back to real Masses in real churches and get back to real Holy Communions. So pray for the end of this pandemic. Pray with fervency. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us from evil. Deliver us from this evil so that we can receive our daily bread. Secondly, in this time, we should also sacrifice. The way of holiness is through the way of the cross. And so we should offer spiritual sacrifice in connection with all the priests out there in the world who are offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass physically at the altars in our churches. In this, we raise our games. We raise up our games. We strive to be saints. Ordinary things now take extraordinary courage. And so, yes, we can be extraordinary. We can sacrifice. We can be a saint. We can sacrifice with Christ. We can offer the spiritual sacrifice of the Mass. We can offer the spiritual sacrifice of all those things we need to offer up, as we say, all those hindrances and complaints and whatever else that we love to spout off to our neighbor, to our family, to our friends. We offer it up. We offer the spiritual sacrifice. We offer the sacrifice of Christ spiritually that the priests are offering on the altars. Lastly, charity. There are lots of temptations now, lots of tensions against charity. We need to put aside resentments and put aside fears. Priests, dear priests out there, we need to stay close to our people. We were ordained to serve them. And so we strive to be with them now, even in the isolation of the pandemic. We strive to offer up sacrifice for them. We strive to live in charity with them. Dear people of God, stay close to your priests. None of us can flourish without Christ-ordained priests in our lives. And so despite any questions and concerns about, are we being cut off from our priests this day because of the pandemic, because of decisions to say we can't have public Mass right now? We need to stay close spiritually with our priests. The church is one, and the people and the priests cannot be divided if we're all going to survive and thrive. So we build up the bonds of Christ. We build up the bonds of friendship. Let us conclude. Having talked about Christ's Eucharistic friendship, let us conclude with a prayer of that Eucharistic friendship. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote the prayers for the Feast of Corpus Christi. And so let us conclude with the opening prayer for that Mass. If you have a missal, if you have a hand missal, you can find this as the opening prayer for Corpus Christi, which takes place after Pentecost, a week and a half to 2 weeks after Pentecost. O God, who in this wonderful sacrament have left us a memorial of your passion, grant us, we pray, so to revere the sacred mysteries of your body and blood that we may always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption, who live and reign with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.